Welcome back. In this lesson, we're taking an old-school D&B call and response riff and turning it into something that feels like part of the drop itself, not just a loop sitting on top of the drums. We're doing it with an automation-first workflow in Ableton Live 12, which means the movement comes from the phrase design, the filtering, the drive, the width, and the sends, before we even think about piling on extra effects. The vibe here is classic jungle energy, old rave stabs, gritty two-bar bass motifs, maybe even a Reese line with a little funk jazz attitude in the rhythm. The goal is simple but serious. Make the call feel clean, focused, and readable, then make the response hit dirtier, wider, and more aggressive, while the sub stays locked down and the drums still punch through. So first, think like a D&B arranger, not just a sound designer. In this style, the bass has to do a few jobs at once. It needs to groove with the break, it needs to suggest harmony, and it needs to build tension without smearing the mix. That's why call and response work so well here. The bass line is literally having a conversation with the drums. The snare lands, the bass answers, the break chops, the bass reacts. That dialogue is the heartbeat of the whole thing. Start by writing a two-bar MIDI phrase on a single instrument track. Keep it simple enough that the rhythm carries the energy. If you're using Waveatable, try a detuned saw-based Reese foundation. If you want something more old-school and rude, layer a clean sub under a mid-range saw or square tone. The key is to separate the low-end discipline from the mid-range attitude as early as possible. Here's the mindset. The sub is the foundation. The mid-range is where the character lives. If you can split those into separate tracks or chains, do it. Put a sine or triangle sub on one chain. Keep it mono with utility, and make sure it stays controlled below roughly 80 to 100 Hz. Then put the dirt, movement, and stereo character on the mid layer. High pass that mid layer somewhere around 90 to 140 Hz, depending on the sound, so the low end stays clean and the distortion doesn't wreck the bottom. Now before you start overprocessing, set up your automation targets. This is the whole point of the workflow. You want to automate the musical controls first. Not just slap on effects and hope for the best. Expose or map your filter cutoff, resonance, drive amount, wave-eatable position or oscillator blend, distortion wet-dry, return send levels, and width on the mid layer. If you're using Live 12 Roar or Saturator or Drum Bus, get those ready too. The principle is to move from least energetic to most energetic. Don't start hot. Leave yourself somewhere to go. For the first bar or first half of the phrase, keep the call tighter, cleaner, and more focused. Let the response open up more. That can mean a filter opening from roughly 25 to 40% up to 55 or 70%, more drive on the later hit, and maybe a bit more width only when the response lands. Small moves matter a lot in D&B. Tiny pre-hit dips and post-hit surges can make the riff feel way more intentional. For distortion, stay controlled and use Ableton's stock tools to shape the tone. Saturator is a great starting point. Push it gently, maybe +3 to +9 dB of drive, and use soft clip if you want safer peaks. Drum bus can add density and a little crunch, but use it subtly. Overdrive can focus harmonics in a specific band, which is useful if you want the riff to bark in the upper bass. And if you're in Live 12, Roar gives you even more animated character, especially if you automate its controls over the phrase. Important detail: put the heavier distortion on the mid-chain, not the full bass, unless you really know the patch. If you distort the whole signal, the sub can become unstable, and in D&B that's where things fall apart fast. You want the low end to remain rock solid so the kick and snare can do their job. Next, use the filter like a mix move, not just an effect. In old school D&B, the filter is often what makes the bass breathe with the drums. A low-passed call feels compact and focused. An opened-up response feels bigger and more dangerous. You can also automate resonance a little bit to add bite, but don't overdo it unless you want that more vocal, tearing tone. If the bass is masking the snare, let the filter dip or pull back a touch right around the hit. That little move gives the transient more room. Now make the riff actually interact with the drums. This is where it becomes D&B instead of just bass music. The break should have room to speak. The snare should still land with authority. If the bass is swallowing the backbeat, carve out some low mid mud around 200 to 400 Hz, and don't be afraid to use sidechain compression or even volume automation to create space. The goal is not to make the bass pump for the sake of it. The goal is to shape the phrase so the snare stays central and the bass answers around it. A strong old-school move is to let the call leave space for the snare, Then let the response hit just after the snare, a little dirtier and a little more open. That push-pull feels classic, and it works because the listener hears the groove as a contrasation instead of a pileup. For stereo movement, keep the sub mono and let the upper bass open up only when needed. That means width automation belongs on the mid layer, not down low. You can use chorus ensemble lightly, a short echo or utility to move from narrow to wider on the response. A nice range might be near 0 to 30% width on the call, then up to 40 to 70% on the response, but only in the mid-range. If you use delay returns, high pass the return so it doesn't clutter the bottom and low pass it so it stays dark and club safe. This is one of the cleanest ways to make the riff feel bigger without wrecking the mix. The bass gets wider up top, but the sub stays locked in the center. That's the kind of control that makes DNB sound expensive. Now zoom out and think about arrangement. This should not feel like a static loop. It should feel like a drop that develops. In a solid 16-bar phrase, maybe the first 4 bars are cleaner and narrower. Bars 5 through 8 bring more distortion and width. Bars 9 through 12 add a variation or extra fill. And bars 13 through 16 strip down just enough to set up the next transition. That way, the drop evolves without losing the main idea. And here's a teacher tip. Use the drums as your loudness reference, not the bass soloed by itself. A bassline can feel massive in solo and still fail in the mix if it weakens the snare. In this genre, the snare is the anchor. If the bass is clouding it, narrow the stereo image, reduce the density a bit, or carve out a little more space in the low mids. The bass should feel huge, but the center still has to punch. If the riff feels too static after all that, don't just turn it up. Add tiny automation moves, a little extra drive on the response. A slight cutoff lift in the second half of the phrase. A small increase in send level to a delay or space return. In advanced DNB mixing, precision energy management beats brute force every time. A great variation idea is to make the first half of the phrase smoother and the second half harsher. That way the drop feels like it's turning the screw instead of repeating itself. Another smart move is to automate harmonic focus, not just drive. Push the distortion emphasis from low mids into upper mids as the phrase intensifies. That keeps the bass readable even when it gets nastier. You can also try rhythmic filter gating, where short filter openings happen in time with the groove, so the bass pulses without needing more notes. If you want to go harder, duplicate the mid-range, smash the duplicate more aggressively, and automate its level only on response moments. That gives you a parallel aggression lane you can bring in and out without destroying the core tone. It's a really useful trick when you want savage sections, but still want the main riff to stay musical. Once the sound is feeling right, print it, check it in mono, and listen for the relationship between the bass and the snare. Ask yourself one simple question. Is the response more interesting, or just louder? If it's only louder, go back and change tone, density, and width before touching gain. That's the difference between an amateur mix move and a proper DNB detail move. So to recap the core idea, build the riff as a real call and response, keep the sub clean and mono, automate your cutoff, drive, width, and sends from less energetic to more energetic, and let the bass and break interact like they're speaking to each other. That's how you turn a loop into a drop with tension, contrast, and controlled chaos. For your practice, make a 2-bar riff, split the sub and mid if you can, add distortion only to the mid layer, draw automation for cutoff, drive, width, and one return send. Then bounce it and check it in mono. Don't chase perfection. Chase a clear difference between the call and the response, while keeping the low end disciplined. If you nail that, you've got a very real old school DNB weapon in your Ableton toolkit.